For this morning's reading, let's turn to Romans chapter 1 and read the first 17 verses. Romans chapter 1, the first 17 verses. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he hath promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures, concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request, if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. May God bless. As we assemble ourselves in God's house and are in expectation of his word and desiring to hear what he would have for us, we know that his word is all in all to us, that it provides for our every need. Wherever we are at in life, God's will, God's word fulfills us, and it speaks to our hearts, and we can be thankful for that. And so whenever it is, whether we're at home and we're reading God's word, or we're gathered together in church and we're reading God's word, we know that his word will fulfill our needs, and will speak to our hearts, and we're very thankful for that. So let's be attentive in this day to hear what the Spirit would speak to us, and hear and know that it is of his truth, and it is of his grace that he is speaking to us through his word. Oftentimes the word of God is a comfort to us. It comforts our hearts, it gives us courage, it gives us strength. It speaks to our needs in those times of trials and tribulations. And then there are times when we tend to lose focus in life, and we're living our lives and we're doing what we need to do, and we kind of put God's word on the side a little bit. And then God's word speaks to us and challenges us and reminds us, what is our purpose here on this earth? Why are we here? And then we realize, well, okay, it's not about living this life and focusing on the things of this world and building our earthly possessions, our earthly ambitions, but it's about glorifying God. And it's always about glorifying God. We as God's people are to be sanctified, set apart for specific use to glorify God in all that we do. So then that means that whether we're at home and performing domestic duties and caring for the family, the purpose there is to glorify God. Or whether we're going to school, the purpose there is to glorify God. Or whether we're at our workplace, it's not so much about the occupation that we're engaged in, but it's about glorifying God, speaking of His goodness. And so perhaps the message in this morning hour is going to be one of a challenge for each and every one of us to step up from where we are at in our service to the Lord, in our sanctification for His purposes. A sanctification in which would mean that we are separated for a specific use. And we see that here in Apostle Paul as he opens up the book of Romans, and as he's writing here to them, he's simply referring to himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, separated unto the gospel of God. This is who the Apostle Paul became after he saw the light there on the road to Damascus. He became a servant of God. And now he's separated unto the gospel of God. And that's what sanctification is. Separated unto the gospel of God. He was still a tent maker, but he was separated unto the gospel of God. He was fulfilling what God would have him to do. And so it is for us that we have our occupations, we do what we do. We have titles, we're dads, we're workers, we're students, whatever it is, we have those titles. But ultimately, the greatest title and the greatest ambition that we have is to be a servant of Jesus Christ, and that we would be separated unto the gospel of God. Thanks be to God that He has called us to this. Thanks be to God that He enlightened us and that He provides grace. And whatever God calls us to, whatever service or whatever use or employment that we would have in God's kingdom, it would ultimately be because of His grace that He provides for us and the strength and the wisdom to do what He would have us to do. Jesus is speaking to His disciples, and He says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit." And so it speaks to us as well, that we didn't choose Christ. Christ chose us. He showed His love toward us. We were unworthy. We didn't do anything great of ourselves that we could be called or we can be chosen. He ordained us. He called us. He sanctified us. He's drawing us to serve Him. He's drawing us to bear fruit. He ordained us. And so because of that, we have now been sanctified. We have been called and set apart for a specific use, even as these apostles were, some to a greater level than others. But here Paul is saying, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, and I'm separated unto the gospel of God. James in his epistle says the same thing. He refers to himself as James, the servant of God and of Jesus Christ. Peter, the same thing in the second epistle. In his second epistle, he writes, same thing. Peter, a servant of Jesus Christ. And so we can put our names in there and say, so-and-so, the servant of Jesus Christ, separated and to be used of God for the gospel's sake. And here he's referring to the gospel many times in this reading that we have here. He's referring to it as the gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's the labor, is in the gospel, in this good news, in this truth that we have had redemption. We have had salvation. We were dead in sins. But through faith in Jesus Christ, now we have redemption. We have been reconciled. we have been redeemed. We have been bought back to the Father, and we are now His, and now that we are His, we are separated unto His service, sanctified and meet for the Master's use. And this gospel that has come now has been promised afore by the prophets of the Holy Scriptures. It was always in the Word of God that Jesus Christ would come to provide salvation for all that would believe in Him. Concerning His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. There was a declaration that was made. And here it says, declared to be the Son of God with power. And so it was a couple times while Jesus was on this earth that there was a declaration that was made from heaven of who Jesus Christ was, where God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear Him." That was a declaration that was made of who Jesus Christ was. And it says that here that He was declared to be the Son of God with power. And there again, at the time of the Transfiguration, when that cloud came and the voice came out of the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son," a declaration was made of who Jesus Christ was, God's beloved Son. So there was this declaration that was made of the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead. By whom we have received grace and apostleship for the obedience to the faith among all nations for His name. So He's speaking of Himself, of how He is a servant of God and how He's sanctified and who Jesus Christ is and how this gospel came and how He's to be employed in sharing of this gospel to the Gentiles that were throughout all of Asia Minor and throughout all that region. And that's where He's saying His role was. And then now in verses 6 and 7, He's speaking of the Romans and who they are and what their role is. And then He says, "Among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ?" He was called there on the road to Damascus. And He's saying, you in Rome are also called. You're the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God. I find that very interesting that He's saying here that you're beloved of God, using the same words that God said that as He referred to Jesus Christ. This is my beloved Son. This is my beloved Son. And we are called the beloved of God, called to be saints. And He says, grace to you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these first seven verses are just one sentence. And there's this introduction that's made. We're separated. We're sanctified. Both He and the Romans and us as well. Separated unto the gospel, the good news that where Jesus Christ was declared to be the Son of God, and that if we have faith in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that we are the called as well, and that we are beloved of God, called to be saints. And so He makes this introduction here in the beginning of His epistle. And after this introduction, he wants to bring something out here right out of the gate and bring this out immediately. And He says here in verse number 8, first thing He wants to express, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And there's a sentence right there. That's the first sentence. And so He wants to thank God. Here is a group of believers in a corrupt city of Rome where the Jews in Jerusalem did not want anybody in Rome ruling over them. And here it was that there were saints. There was beloved of God. There was these people who believed in the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were here abiding in Rome. And it's and their faith that they had, that despite all that was against them as they believed in Jesus Christ, their faith was strong. Their faith was very strong. And it was spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, He continues here and says, that God's my witness. He's saying, I don't need to prove this out. I don't need others to see me that I'm doing this. He's saying, God is my witness. God knows. God knows my heart. God knows the heart of every individual upon the earth. And so the Apostle Paul is saying, God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. The Apostle Paul is making his journeys throughout Asia Minor, throughout all those cities that he wrote letters to, and some he didn't write letters to. And yet he's keeps hearing about these believers in Rome. He keeps hearing about them. And he hasn't made his way there yet. And he has a desire to get there. And as he's hearing about their faith, he's saying, God's my witness, I have been praying for you all the time. I've been praying for you without ceasing. I have been praying for you. And here he's saying that I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son. I'm serving. Again, he's the servant of Jesus Christ. He's sanctified. He's as one that serves. Jesus Christ put forth a question. He's saying, whether is greater? Which is greater? He that sits at meat or he that serveth? Is it not him that sitteth at meat? And Jesus says, but I am among you as one that serveth. Jesus Christ came here to serve. He washed his disciples' feet, making that distinction of he's one that serves. And if we are to be Christ-like, that we are to be ones as those that serve. The Apostle Paul, James, Peter, and so many others have referred to themselves as servants, those who serve, those who give, not those that take, those that serve, those that give. And so this is our challenge in this morning hour, as we consider God's word for us in our lives, is that perhaps we're serving God. Perhaps we're being employed in his service, and we're doing what we can, but perhaps we can step that up a little bit more too. God forbid if we sit back and say, well, I'm just gonna be served. I'm not gonna give. I'm not going to participate. I'm not going to contribute. I'm just going to sit back and I'm going to serve. God forbid if we have that attitude. We are to serve. We are to give. And sometimes we have that feeling of, well, I'm not so well suited to serve in that capacity. Perhaps this other person can do it so much better than I. So I'm going to let him do that. These thoughts go through our minds continuously, all the time. But God gives us grace. God gives us strength that he, through us, can do great things. And then he gets the glory. He gets the glory. And so the Bible here is speaking here, the Apostle Paul, he's saying, I'm praying for you without ceasing, always, continuously. And so we read that also in the first epistle of Paul to the Thessalonians, chapter 1, he says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers. Again, this is very critical, very important that we pray for one another. And so he's speaking now to the Thessalonians as he spoke to those in Rome, that he was praying for them, and now he's saying, I'm making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in the sight of God, our Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election of God. And so he's speaking here to those in Thessalonica. You're called. You're called to be saints. You're called to serve. You are sanctified. And he's speaking the same thing now to those in Rome as well. You're called. You are saints. And you're building each other up by this, by the faith that you have, this labor of love, the work of faith, and the patience of hope. And so it is in our lives that we as a church need to be praying one for another. This is how we'll build each other up. This is how we will be strong. This is how we will all be sanctified and meet for the Master's use. doing what he would have us to do. We need to be praying one for another, even as the Apostle Paul was praying for them. And surely the Romans and those in Thessalonica were praying for each other as well. Because when you succeed, I succeed. When you bear fruit, it helps me to bear fruit. I'm encouraged. And I desire to be used in God's service, to bear fruit. We all have this mutual experience of we've all been, those of us that believe in Jesus Christ, we've been born again. We're abiding in the vine together. We're bearing fruit together. We have a common goal. We have a common aspiration to be in heaven. And so we need to be praying for one another. If there's somebody that you want to see in heaven, you need to be praying for them. Making request, if by any means now at length I may have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart some unto you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. And here he's speaking, that I have a desire. I want to come to Rome. I want to be there. And I want to encourage you in your faith. And I want to be there and help you and work together and side by side. He had this desire, and he's speaking of this desire. I want to go to Rome. I want to be there. I want to see you there. It wasn't so much that he was thinking, well, I can go get some good material for my tent-making business in Rome, and while I'm there getting my material, perhaps I'll stop by and see how the saints are doing there in Rome. No, his objective was, I want to get to Rome. I want to be there. I want to help to build you up. I want to impart some spiritual gift unto you. I want you to be established. I want you to be comforted together. That was his desire. This was a sanctification that the Apostle Paul had. He was separated unto the gospel of God. He was a servant of Jesus Christ. Perhaps that pricks at us a little bit. Perhaps we can step it up a bit too. Perhaps we can serve just a little bit more. Perhaps we can glorify God just a little bit more. Perhaps we can bring him a little more glory by bearing fruit unto him. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise, and so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. He's ready. He's ready. He has a willing mind, and he will do what he has the ability to do, God providing him grace. And he's saying, as much as in me is. He had limitations. We all have limitations. But he's saying, as much as in me is, I'm ready to go to Rome, and I'll preach the gospel there as well. He wrote to the Corinthians and said, if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. We have limitations. We can't do all things. We can't be all things to all people. We have limitations. And so God will reward us and will bless the fruit that we are laboring to bring according to what we have. But there first needs to be a willing mind. That's what's crucial, is to have that willing mind and that disposition about ourselves that we are a servant of God, servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are sanctified. We are set apart to do what he would have us to do. We are laboring for his kingdom. We are glorifying him as creation to the Creator. And so he says, continuing on here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is what he understood the gospels to be, and this is what we understand the gospel to be. It is the power of God. It's the power of God unto salvation. To salvation. That we who believe in him would have this power embedded or implanted within us. that we would have salvation. And so that's nothing to be ashamed about. But that's in humility, we accept what he would have here for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, it speaks here of vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. And so the Bible says here, if a man therefore purge himself from the vessels of dishonor, the vessels of dishonor being my will. That's a vessel of dishonor. Think, my will is going to be greater than the will of God. That's a vessel of dishonor. But when we are the servants of God, we put our will to the back. We crucify our will and let God's will be done. So if we purge ourselves from vessels of dishonor, he shall make us a vessel unto honor, sanctified, set apart, and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. When we say, I'm a servant of God, I want to do what he would have me to do, I want to glorify his name, I want to lift him up, I want to live out the gospel, then we will be meet for the master's use, doing what is acceptable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. The Apostle Paul put himself in a position that when he had an opportunity, he was going to be going to Rome and declaring the gospel unto them. We will put ourselves in opportunities to do God's service when we have a willing mind, when we put ourselves in that position where I'm ready to do what God would have us to do, then God's going to provide us an opportunity, and we will use then that opportunity to serve God, to glorify God. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We are justified. We are justified by our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our faith cannot stand alone. It needs to be accompanied by the law of love, by doing what God would have us to do in loving our neighbor more than ourselves. The Apostle Paul writes later here in chapter 3 of Romans and says, and he speaks of this being justified by faith, and he speaks of this gospel of Christ. He says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. There is none of us that can do enough good works or enough righteousness of our own that we could somehow make ourselves to be just before God. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be the propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare a declaration that's being made, his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, his righteousness, God's righteousness, that he might be just, God's righteousness, and that he might be just, and that he might be the justifier of them which believe in Jesus Christ. God is just, God is righteous, and he imputes his, that which is just, he justifies us, and he imputes his righteousness unto us who believe in Jesus Christ. So the just shall live by faith. Faith in this gospel, being sanctified, set apart for God's use, that we might glorify him. Again, whether we give little or whether we give much, whether we feel like we are just being used and used and used in God's service, we have room to step it up a little bit more. May it be that would be God's message to us this today. The Holy Spirit speaking to us. How can I be used in God's kingdom just a little bit more? We often ask, what is God's will? What is God's will? That's often asked. What is God's will? What is God's will for me? 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. We're set apart not to do our will. We're set apart to do God's will. So this is God's will, our sanctification. And then he concludes in 1 Thessalonians by saying, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? That all of our being, all of that would be preserved unto the coming of Jesus Christ. That we would be sanctified, that we would do what God would have us to do, that we would labor for him, that we would know that the gospel is truth. We are sanctified by God and by his truth, as Jesus says in his priestly prayer in John 17, verse 17. He says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. We are sanctified by God's word, by his truth. And as we believe this truth, this gospel of God, this gospel of Jesus Christ, as we believe this and are become saints in the Lord, and we are praying for one another, that we are sanctified, that we are then his children, his beloved, his beloved. The song that we started the service with says in the third verse, I now my heart's thanksgiving for my redemption bring. We've been redeemed. Because we believe in this gospel, the power of the gospel. Now for thy cross I'm giving my life, myself, as offering. We're giving ourselves as an offering. We are the Lord's. We are the Lord's. We belong to him. He has called us and he has separated us to his service. He has separated us to build his kingdom. He has separated us to glorify him. We have a mutual faith. We're all abiding on the vine together. We have this commonality of a common enemy. We have a goal that we are all trying to reach for. Let's pray for one another. Let's pray for one another that we would be able to step it up just a little bit more in his service. The Lord is coming. He's coming soon. It will never be regrettable to serve him and be sanctified and meet for his use. Amen.
What wonderful words we sang together and the words that we read together. It says, numbered among thy band, among thy saints to stand. Paul said here, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. What are we called for to be? To be saints. In my travel, I often talk with people, and once I was talking with a Catholic person, and we talked about how vain their worship is, that they go and pray to saints. And he says, don't you believe in saints? Oh yes, I do. I believe in living saints. For the Bible said, Paul wrote to the Romans who are alive, not who are dead. It is not like the Catholic Church says, well, when somebody dies and some miracles are performed in their name, they are pronounced saints. We are called saints already here. We are called to be saints. And as saints, we must live that holy life that befits that holy name. In the Serbian language, just quoted what Peter said, that we are called. As he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, all manner of life, whether somebody sees us or somebody doesn't. For there is someone who sees us. You know, David says that thou knowest my thoughts afar off. God knows our thoughts. And we are called to be separated. Separated from the world of sin. And we have fled for refuge and hid in the shed blood of Jesus and have been washed and have been redeemed and have been set aside to God's service in everything, in the smallest thing to the greatest thing. So may we live to that calling that we are called to be saints. And we have that longing for that, as we sang here, world without end. That is the place that we are going if we are faithful to the end. To that place where Jesus went to prepare a place for us, where there shall be no more of this present sorrows, pains, temptations. But we shall be forever in our Father's presence to praise Him for what we were created in the first place. Were we not made for that? For thou hast created all things. And for thy glory hast thou created. Everything that God has created has a purpose. Mankind failed him. And so he sent his son to turn our hearts back unto him. May we be worthy of that calling. Many are called, but few are chosen. This is the testing ground. And the Lord will say to the right or to the left, we have been given the power to the Holy Spirit. May we be obedient to the still small voice. May God bless his word. To him be all honor, glory, and praise now forevermore. Amen.